call the meeting to order with a pledge, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And we do have a presentation from Mrs. Dubois, our budget.
So this is the budget hearing presentation for the 2021-2022 Whitehall Central School budget. Budget vote's gonna be on May 18th between the hours of noon and 8 p.m. right here. While we were developing the budget, we wanted to make sure that we kept certain things in mind, and especially a sustainable funding plan. So we worked pretty hard, and we are very proud, which you know, to be able to come out with a 0% tax levy limit. We're doing that because state aid went up almost 6%, and we're going to use a little bit more fund balance. We've also, within the previous meetings, talked about some of the improvements in the budget, including a teacher on special assignment for technology, and we also have new math curriculum in the elementary school, and also some equipment to maintain our facilities. We have some wonderful new facilities, so we're going to get the equipment needed to make sure that we maintain them well. So this slide shows the budget summary. As you can see, we're going up a 4.23% budget to budget increase, around $723,000. 47% of that is debt service that's coming onto the schedule from this most recent project that we should be finishing up soon, and that's $341,000 worth of it. The instructional area is going up substantially, and that is to include the TOSA, additional maintenance costs in SPED, as well as more placements. We did realize savings in employee benefits because we're moving a lot of our employees to lower cost plans, such as the alternate or the HRA plan, so we were able to realize a small savings in the employee benefit area. On the revenue side down here, again, state aid is going up a huge amount. We have a slight increase in interest, and we do have some new funding streams in other, including non-resident tuition for foster students, as well as a small revenue for our sales rep, which thanks to our new director of facilities, we aren't paying someone to dispose of our scrap, we're actually making some money on it. So that's good. This is a graphical illustration. You can't see it.
That's right, I had it before.
It shows that if you take instruction, transportation, and employee benefits, which are the things that are directly related to the students, that's over 80% of our budget. So over 80% of the funds are going directly to service the students, which is very good. That's a good percentage. And the general support area is buildings and grounds, administration, Board of Education, legal services, things such as that. The increase there is for mainly for contractual salaries, as well as we're increasing a little bit for our cleaning supplies so that we continue to do the deep cleaning. And on the fuel budget, I did want to point out that because, you know, fuel prices are going up. However, we put two very high efficiency boilers here in the high school. So we looked at the numbers and we crunched them, and we're leaving that fuel budget flat because we think the savings on the fuel usage will more than offset the increased prices. And we've talked about the other purchases there. Instruction, the TOSA, again, that's the coordinator of instructional media. We're also going to get additional help for Mike and Adam in the from BOCES, and that's going to be really important when we start working on the Smart Schools Bond Act and all of the technology upgrades that are going to happen here. So that's going to be very beneficial to have that addition. Transportation is a minimal increase. We had several of our longtime bus drivers that were at the top of the wage scale retire, so we realized the savings there. It's kind of a double-sided sword because now we're struggling with finding bus drivers. So we did increase the outside contract budget in case we can't find drivers to fill the needs that we have.
Hey, Jessica. Mm-hmm. For the technology support for the, is that having to do with the grant that we received that the BOCES guide did the presentation on? Is that?
That's what the smart schools is, yeah, and the support is for that as well as we continue to roll out more and more technology.
Do you think, because I remember on the timing on that, it was going to be like 6 months for them to approve it, and then who knows when we get funds. Do you think that'll be something that has to carry forward into another year's budget?
The BOCES help?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's something you're going to want to keep here, because we are now a one-to-one district, basically, and we only have two individuals. That's a lot of load on those two people. So by having that additional support from BOCES will really help maintain your technology.
So the services that we've been contracting for through BOCES will be basically all our backbone support. Mm-hmm. And then Mike and Adam can work on the functional issues throughout the course of the day, talking to teachers, taking care of hardware and software needs. So they won't need to worry about the backbone of the entire infrastructure.
Yeah.
Okay, so this slide shows our revenue stream in a graphical way, and you can see 63% is state aid, 32% is property taxes. So that's huge. That's basically our revenue, and then 4% is our appropriated fund balance and reserves. So we're lucky this year with the state aid increase that it actually went up 1%, so it's, last year it was 62%, now it's 63%. And taxes went down 1%, so it's nice to be able to point that out and to say that. It doesn't always happen that way. I think we've gone over pretty much everything state aid increase. What I would say is that one of the things that is done well here at Whitehall also is using the reserves. The state looks for you to have a reserve plan. They like you to put money into reserves, but they also want to see that you're using it for its intended purpose. So every year there's a certain amount of reserves that are appropriated to help keep the taxes low. So that's a really good process in place and should continue. This is that tax cap formula. A couple of numbers to point out. Is that the pointer? Well, I don't know what I'm doing with this thing, so I'm not going to bother. Go down to the fifth line, you'll see 1.0123.
I had the rocket from China.
That is the 2% that you hear about when they talk about the 2% tax cap. That is the tax-based growth factor. It's based on the consumer price index. And as you can see, it's only 1.23%. It's not 2%. So you'd run through the numbers and come all the way down, and our tax levy could go up 3.15%, which is about $179,000. However, we are, through careful management, going out at a zero tax increase. I like this slide. This slide shows 10 years worth of the tax levy increase here at Whitehall. And as you can see, over 10-year average, it's only at 1.52%, which is below that 2% cap number. Another nice thing to look at and notice is that the allowable versus actual difference, that is what's left on the table. That wasn't, we could have increased the taxes by that amount and we didn't. And it's over $160,000 more than what taxes were increased. So that really shows that the board and the administration have been very conservative and very careful in their planning. So we do have one proposition on the ballot, and that's for a bus and replacement, and it is for a 2010 bus 102. And bus 102 is the last bus in our fleet that did not get the undercoating every year, so that underneath of that bus is very rusted, so it's definitely, it's got over 111,000 miles, so it's time to replace it. So that will be on the ballot, and it will generate transportation aid in the following year. And we do have 3 open seats, and the 3 incumbents have decided to run again, so there will be 3 names on the ballot. Mr. Barber, Mr. Dudley, and Mrs. Green will be on the ballot, and people are able to vote for 3 people. So budget vote's going to be right here, May 18th, between the hours of noon and 8 p.m. Any other questions? have to do. Thank you very much.
Not bad.
Perfect.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, on to board president comments. I want to thank Kate for the extremely hard work that she's done since she's been here with us. You certainly will be missed, and especially this year with so many variables that none of us saw coming in regards to COVID and our flood and the insurance. And Kate, personally, it's just been great working with you, and I hope you enjoy your retirement to the fullest, but we will miss you.
I can't, again, I will say I can't think of a place I'd rather have spent this crazy year than right
good. We're glad you were here too. Do we have any other board member comments? Superintendent comments.
All right, just to echo Roxanne, Kate, thank you. You've done a heck of a job for us, getting this budget together. And such a crazy budget year, really not knowing any details. Flying by the seat of your pants, working with the administrative staff to get this pulled together. And I'm very, very pleased that we're able to go out to our community with a zero. So that's good news for the community. And we're still in very good shape moving forward as a district. Because of the fiscal management fund balance that we have in place. So thank you. Tonight, Heather Morcombe is sitting back there. Heather is going to be the new Kim Manny when Kim retires. So we invited Heather to come tonight just to start checking out a couple of board meetings before they come. She'll be working in district office as my secretary and also as the board clerk. So look forward to working with Heather as we move forward. Heather's coming down from the elementary school. I stole her from Judy. Tonight you're also going to hopefully be approving another individual for the elementary secretarial position who was outstanding. I think we're still in good shape moving forward. And Heather, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Want to point out a exciting little event that happened last week. Mike Vandenberg was the Whitehall recipient of the Adirondack Area School Boards Association Community Service Awards. Nice little online ceremony last week, and he was given a nice check from the Adirondack Area School Boards. Good kid, done a lot for the community and a lot for the school. Coming up this week, there is going to be a pop-up community-wide immunization site set up at the Hampton Town Hall and the Whitehall Municipal Centers. And that's going to be on the 12th from 3 p.m. until 7 p.m. So anybody that needs an immunization, hasn't gotten one, has been struggling to get to one of the larger locations, we're going to have a couple of pop-up immunization clinics right here in Whitehall. So please spread the word. We've got that information on our website, and the county has been broadcasting that pretty regularly as well. Typically each year, during Regents Week, our high school students, junior, senior high school students, don't come to school because Regents exams are occurring. This year, as a result of the Regents exams unfolding the way they're going to unfold because of the state, our high school students will be here throughout Regents Week. So our teachers will continue to instruct during Regents Week with the junior, senior high school. So all students on the final 2 days of the school year, on the 24th and 25th of June, will have half days instead. So it'll be K through 12, regular instruction that final week. Ethan and Judy, do you guys have anything you want to add or share in reference to graduations and moving up ceremonies at this point?
Ethan and I have met and started to talk about what will really turn into not so much a sixth grade graduation program, but it'll be a sixth grade moving up event. We're in the planning stages of that. We'd like to do that on Wednesday, that last full day of school. We've toyed around with the times, and every time it looks like it's going to crash into one dismissal or another. So we're looking at more like a 10 a.m. Event that we would invite parents to come in and be part of, I call it like an inside out parade. So instead of the students parading, we'd ask parents to drive through the circle, and we'd have the sixth grade students out along the circle socially distanced, and they could drive through and honk and wave and take pictures. And then we would move those students, those sixth grade students, from the elementary building, and they would take their parade behind the caravan of parents down to meet Ethan at the high school. And at the end of that little mini event, which Topher has assured me he can take video footage of and add it to a slideshow, they would leave with a maroon balloon and a white balloon, and they would officially be railroaders. So we'll send them off with a maroon balloon, and Ethan will meet them along with some semblance of the high school on that day.
So we're sorry.
So we're looking at like maybe around 10 o'clock so that we can get everybody moved without bumping into traffic and recognize them and put together messages and whatnot online, and couple that with a small live event so that we can keep the crowd contained and still celebrate the accomplishments.
So we're looking to have the current senior class greet. So it's kind of like out with the old, in with the new. So our senior class will be waiting to sort of pass the torch to the new crop that are coming in. So we'll get that organized. And I think the seniors, they'll be glad to do that and come out and be a part of something new, new tradition at the school. But for graduation, it's underway. Planning is looking good. We're going to have it like we did last year. So it'll be out in front of the school. So the reason for that really boils down around, because of COVID, we're still limited with the people that we can have in the space. So if you remember last year that when we closed the road down, a lot of families can come. So the original plan, which kind of got passed around the community, was to have it at the football field, which we will have at the football field when COVID lifts. But if we have it at the stadium, that's only X amount of people. So that's going to leave a lot of family members out. So right now it looks like each student will receive 4, possibly 5 tickets. And what we will also do is sort of take a running number of how many tickets will be needed, because certain kids won't need 5 tickets and they can donate those to larger families. And then every family will have a designated spot. And I think even we're gonna sort of push the ceremony back closer towards the road so people can hear it. Mm-hmm. So I think we're slated for 6 o'clock, kids come at 5. We're also going to run inside we're building sort of like a memories slideshow for the kids, and they can come in and kind of watch the slideshow and things like that. Of course, we'll be doing protocols and things like that, but the good news is, as long as we're outside, we can cap that at 200. So if we're under 200, we don't have to do the testing and things like that. But we will be asking the public that when the ceremony is over, quick picture and go. Like, we don't want to be loitering at the high school. So we will be planning that, as well as there will be a senior breakfast, as always, that they eat with the staff. And then take a walk through the elementary building to say one last bye to some of their elementary school teachers. And like Pat was saying, it's new for us this year because our teachers will be here and the students will be here that whole time. Normally, the last week and a half of school, the kids don't come in only for their regents, but they will be coming every day this time. So we're working on talking with Lee Stefanik a little bit to see if she's going to add anything to our ceremony. I think many of you know now we have a West Point bound student, which means there will be an added layer to graduation ceremony. They usually send somebody up to welcome her into West Point. Zoe Eggleston has been accepted. There has been some talk that could be Elise Stefanik. We are not sure. She does have us penciled in, and she is waiting to free her schedule, but she's busy. So that's where we are right now. I'll be sending some things home here within the next week or two, finalizing a lot of that. So that's where we are with graduation.
Is there any more discussion with the Elks in reference to?
Yes. So last year there was the grab and go dinner, and then there was the parade. The Elks is kind of alluding to us now that they want to have the in-house dinner, the senior dinner. and we are talking with them. They are planning it at their end. So it means if we have the dinner, we're not real sure about the car parade through the town. That might be a whole separate event. We kind of want to have that event. So we're just waiting to hear from them, but they are on it, and I think we're going to have the dinner in-house this year. And there's always another event at one of the local churches, and we're here waiting to hear back from them as well. So they're kind of nervous with COVID, so they're not real sure what guidance to take. But we did say that we're more than welcome to do what we did last year, but they definitely want to have something in the building for the kids.
Thanks, Ethan.
Yep.
Thanks, Judy. So again, you know, this is yet another strange year. We're hopeful that it's our last very strange year. We're doing all that we can do as a school district to make sure our students are recognized, and making sure our students are recognized within the criteria that are consistently changing. Ethan and Judy have been working hard to put together a plan that's going to be safe for our students, good for our community, and a good way to still recognize our students. So thank you for that. one last thing I wanted to discuss. Our football coaches and athletic director have been engaged in ongoing conversations regarding the Whitehall football program. Mr. Redmond has been meeting with all students in grades 8 through 12 to assess the ages and potential number of players that we have participating for the 21-22 football season. As a result of these ongoing discussions, our coaching staff and AD feel that we have a sufficient number of players to run a quality JV program that will enable our coaching staff to develop these players safely and with the ability to grow into an independent Whitehall varsity program for the 22-23 school year. As such, I am going to recommend to the board that the Whitehall Central School District exit the merger with Granville for the 21-22 season. We will continue to be merged for cross country. They have continued to indicate that we can send boys there for soccer, and you know, we look forward to those continued partnerships. But given the students that we presently have, we feel that the best direction at this point is to put 11 Whitehall students on the football field each play in each game and develop our students so they're better prepared for a true varsity program the following year. We're currently at 35 students that will be in grades 9 through 12 next year. There are only a few seniors. Of those seniors, there is only one senior that has a history of playing football, really wouldn't be eligible to play JV. But that is also a student that plays another travel sport, so that student would not be left out in the cold. The rest of the student athletes would have the opportunity to play and practice with our own coaches here on our own field and get out and play each week.
Do we have a motion to?
I just got one thing. The only thing I got, I mean, they said that, Pat. I mean, last year we said we would have a team. We end up getting a team, and all of a sudden, two kids dropped out. I mean, Granville's a short thing. You're saying maybe, yeah, we have some, but what happens if we only get 12 kids?
I'd be very surprised if we went from 35 to 12.
Well, I'm just saying, what yeah. happens if, so that means the 12 kids we got don't play, correct? We don't form a team because we get 16, correct?
Yep. Well, what it comes down to, this is the best information we have at this time, Dick. And I can't provide you any more information than I just have.
Right, but I was going to say we had that before. Sure. So, okay.
We can always look at it again as well if there's another.
So mergers are something that's discussed on a year-to-year basis. Even if you're in one, it's something we need to really make sure we're evaluating. We've got to be thinking about the student athletes that we have here, what's going to be best for our athletes and best for our program. And given all of the information that has been shared with me through the coaches and the athletic director, this is the recommendation that I'm coming forward to the board with at this time.
I just hope when we do another merger that we sit down with everyone together before we make a decision and get kids all ready to go. We all make a decision with the community, the board members, and here to make sure that's the direction we're going to go, rather than just jump.
I don't think we jumped last time.
I think we did, but that's...
Well, I disagree.
This was talked
about for 2 years. I don't believe anyone jumped. We had every bit of information we thought we had and we needed at the time.
Yeah.
Patrick, what will our cheerleaders have an opportunity?
Yes, our cheerleaders will still cheer.
For Whitehall?
Well, we're gonna give them the opportunity to cheer with our JV as well as if they choose to cheer with the Granville. The handful of Granville students, our girls could go there and cheer for Granville.
But they can cheer for our JV?
Yes, and our intent is to have them cheer each week for our JV because the JV games wouldn't be played at the same time as varsity. So they would also have the opportunity to do the other cheering as well. So we've got a large number of girls.
Yeah, I don't want them to get left in the dust.
We don't want them to miss that.
Thank you.
Do we have a motion on the floor to exit the merge for football with Granville at this time? Thank you, Mr. Armstrong. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second, Mrs. Norton. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Carried. Did you get that, Mrs. Neely?
I didn't get the no.
I'm sorry?
I didn't get the no.
Mr. LaChapelle.
Thank you.
Okay. Did you have anything else?
Nope, that's it.
Okay, treasurer's report.
I would like to recommend the board take action to approve the treasurer's report as well as the individual reports that you have before you.
Do we have a motion to accept the treasurer report?
So moved.
Mrs. Norton, do we have a second? Mr. Dudley, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Four, five, six, seven. Okay, items requiring board action.
I would like to recommend the board take action to approve the minutes of the April 19, 2021 board meeting and April 27, 2021 special meeting.
Do we have a motion to approve those two board minutes?
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Baker and Mr. Armstrong. Second, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. CSE, CPSE minutes?
I would recommend that the board take action to approve the 16 individual dates of meetings for the CSE and the CPSE committees.
Do we have a motion for those to be approved?
So moved.
Mr. LaChapelle, do we have a second?
Second.
Second, Mrs. Norton, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Audit and finance meeting notes.
I would like to recommend the board take action to approve the audit and finance meeting of April 19th, 2021.
Do we have a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Baker. Second?
Second.
Second, Mr. LaChapelle, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Approval of bid.
Last month, we approved a few different bids for the reconstruction work in the boys and girls locker room spaces. We were waiting on some additional information in regard to the electrical bid, which has since been obtained. That said, I would like to recommend the board take action to approve the electrical contract for the boys and girls locker room.
Do we have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Dudley. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second, Mrs. Norton. Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Transition services contract.
Yes, I would like to recommend the board take action to approve CWI to support the district and its students in the transition services for those students as they prepare to graduate from Whitehall Central, those students that have IEPs.
Do we have a motion to approve those services?
So moved.
Thank you, Mr. Armstrong. Second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Baker, right?
Have we ever done this before?
That's funny.
Yes.
I'm sorry? We have done it before. I don't remember seeing it.
You guys are so quiet.
This is contract. It's a requirement that's kind of been there that had been missed previously.
Okay.
So it's one thing that we've picked up in the past few years to make sure that we're providing the services to students. I believe they start transition services in
14, 15 years ago.
Thanks.
Any other questions or discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Appointment rescind.
Yes, I would like to recommend the board rescind the appointment of Mr. Austin Reed. Mr. Reed has found a permanent position elsewhere.
Too bad. Do we have a motion to rescind that appointment?
So moved.
Mr. Baker, thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second with Mr. LaChapelle. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Appointments, Mr. D.
Yes, I would like to recommend that we appoint Ms. Luella Vanendor to the position of elementary school nurse. We have been able to find our own elementary school nurse rather than contracting with the outside agency, as that simply was not working out. They weren't able to provide the services that they had shared that they would be able to provide. Additionally, I'd like to recommend the appointment of Ms. Elizabeth Downing to the position of account clerk, which would mean that person would be the elementary school secretary. Lastly, a couple of volunteer assistants, Mr. Lyman to varsity baseball and Mr. Cook to modified baseball.
Okay, do we have a motion to approve those?
So moved.
Mrs. Norton, second?
Second, yes.
Second, Mr. Dudley. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Leave of absence.
Yes, I would like to recommend the board take action to approve the leave of absence, family leave, from May 3rd through the end of the school year for Ms. Mallory Lanzi. Mallory is a special educator here at the junior senior high school.
Do we have a motion to approve that leave?
So moved.
Mr. LaChapelle, second?
Second.
Mr. Armstrong, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Disposals.
Yes, would like to recommend that the district approve the disposal of our 2002 John Deere Gator. Apparently it's in pretty rough shape. Well, not apparently. I see a driver on campus. It's in rough shape. And it's best that we, not have it here and watch it burn in our front lawn someday. So that is not a really good proposal for people who want to bid on said Gator.
Part, right?
Maybe, some parts. There's a few. Steering wheel's okay, I think. But yeah, so I would like to recommend that we say goodbye to our Gator.
Oh, darn. Do we have a motion to dispose of the Gator?
So moved.
Oh, Mrs. Norton, thank you. A second?
Second.
Mr. Dudley, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Items of information.
Yes, we've got a budget vote coming up. The annual meeting, budget vote, Board of Education, will be May 18th from noon until 8, as Kate shared. It'll be right here in the LGI. We are going to be working out details on how folks will come and go and social distancing and cleaning and all that stuff this week. So we've got everything in place, planned and prepared for the day of the budget vote.
Okay. Also, again, thank you to Mrs. Green and Mr. Dudley and Mr. Barber for taking on their seat again. I think that's good news in regards from the community where we don't have a lot of people looking for the seats, so I'm thinking they're happy with what's going on with the board, so that makes all of us happy, so that's great. And again, that vote is here in the LGI room, not in the gymnasium.
Correct.
As normal.
Correct.
Okay. Any other comments or questions?
I have a couple of like random questions.
No, go ahead.
Have we seen, since we increased the sub pay, has there been an increase in people?
We've had 11 different people sign on for Whitehall.
So that's been helpful.
Yes.
We had a gentleman come up to the elementary school who said he's come to the district to serve as an official for a couple of sports. And he said, oh, I knew Whitehall wasn't that far, and came in and couldn't believe how friendly we were and complimented the students. And I said, excellent, go out and tell all your friends.
Yeah.
So it was nice to see a couple of different faces in the district and have them come. It was very nice to have a few more on the list. Absolutely.
BOCES has done a very nice job communicating that information out to the subservice.
Good.
So it's worked.
Great.
And have they given any more communication on the guidance for this Fed money?
We got an application for one piece of it today. I read through the first few pages and my eyes started to glaze over. So actually it's relatively short. So that's always concerning. But
we have a lot of attachments.
Yeah. So we'll be reviewing that because one of the documents only dropped today.
Is there still a, didn't you say July 15th or something that you had?
June.
June?
Yeah, it was June,
even
mid-June.
Yeah. Does that?
To get the application in.
Oh, okay.
So.
Is that feasible?
Absolutely.
So that's what.
And then they said we're gonna put them on a rolling schedule, so I don't think they'll take away our birthday if it's not there by June 15th.
So we've got that out there, and then another change that is, looks like it's forthcoming. Previously, school districts 5 years ago had to start doing lead testing. That lead testing was initially intended to be done every 5 years, and the cut point for non-potable water in a school district was 15 parts per billion. We had 26 different outlets of our 138 that didn't pass 5 years ago. And they were all non-potable sources, so their hand wash sinks, side sinks, those sorts of things. The potable sources had been remediated. We tested again this year, we had 26, still the non-potable sources, sinks, et cetera. The EPA has since determined, and there's legislation out there that looks like it's going to go through, that they are reducing the amount of lead that is considered safe in schools and schools only, not municipal water systems, not homes, not malls, not doctor's offices, just schools in New York State to 5 parts per million.
From what was it before?
15. So at 5 parts per billion, we would have 9 outlets of 138 that will pass.
So what are we going to do about that?
That's a good question. And this is not new and unique to Whitehall. This is going to be happening to many municipal systems. So it appears that the lead levels coming into the school from the municipal system are above 5 parts per billion. Because that's just, it only makes sense that that's where it's happening. So schools and municipalities, municipal water systems will probably be in conversations pretty regularly coming soon in regard to that lead level that's potentially coming in, and the mitigation strategies and techniques are going to be required by schools. I've been on Zoom meetings 3 today, 4 last week with assemblymen and senators talking about this and asking that as part of the legislation goes through that the remediation is paid for by the state. They didn't understand all of the legislation. I believe it was being presented to them, so that's information that they, I think, listened very seriously to, because there will be an enormous cost to the remediation of all of this water that's coming into school systems throughout New York State.
Isn't the village getting a grant for updating the water management system?
We have applied. There's nothing.
It's still
yeah.
Oh, I thought the village had gotten approved for the town.
And they replace a lot of their old lead lines too, yeah. As they go.
Yeah, it only take, you figure it only takes one old lead line sitting under some street somewhere that's feeding it. It's going to push those levels up. And if you think about the infrastructure in the vast majority of municipal water systems, they're old.
Yeah.
That stuff.
We still got lead lines here. They put the new lines in here years ago. Or are they still lead here?
In the school, there are probably lead bends. In some of the, or lead solder in some of the
right.
joints. We have a combination of copper, which is typical, and we also have galvanized. So the galvanized gets rusty. The copper, if there is lead in those fixtures, you know, there will be a little bit of, you know, a little bit of lead there. But, you know, the question is, what's the percentage of lead coming into the building? What's the percentage of lead after it comes in the building? You know, where's it picking it up?
I'll find that out for you, and I'll get some information to you.
Yeah, I read something, this article I just found. $3.7 million for the town of Whitehall to renovate its sewer system and prevent stormwater entering the sanitary sewers.
All right, that's
the sewer.
That's
sewer.
The village, but that's sewer.
That wouldn't affect
no.
this at all.
Not the water.
No, what they want us to do is to put in a UV system at the wastewater treatment plant.
That's what that's for?
Mm-hmm.
And that would obviously have no effect on
no.
lead.
Well, I don't think you'd
measure push that. For that first. 20 years ago to do that, we had that. It was way too expensive to do.
Well, we have a grant.
Right, but I said
for the UV system, but.
That wouldn't help this, obviously.
No, unfortunately, no.
So this is all shaking out right now. And, you know, I can't definitively tell you that this is what's going to happen. It looks like this is what's going to happen. It looks like this legislation is going to pass. But we don't know until it happens. And when it does happen, we'll have to do something with remediation for potable sources in the school.
They're gonna have to come up with some grants because all these mandates are killing small communities.
Yes, they are.
They don't think about that one.
No. It's just somebody sitting in an office saying you have to do this.
And the world stops at Albany.
Okay, anything else from anyone? Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Mr. LaChapelle, do we have a second?
A second, yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Dudley.
Third.
All in favor? All in favor? Opposed? Carried.